basics available for the truth self of the whole is available for recognition only in the mind, only as the substance of the substantive I, which means the knowledge that I am, and always. And I can ask it, okay, now with reference to how can I make you understand, how is it available for recognition always? Katham sada spurati samyak spurati trishu, no? Tisrushu avasthasu. In all three states of experience. In no state of experience, it goes to sleep. The self, you know, doesn't fall asleep. In all three states of experience, it is there very much, witnessing all three states of experience. There are only three states of experience. In every state of experience, the self spurati, the self shines. As what? As a substance of the substantive I, asmi iti jnanasya, tattva rupena, satta rupena, spurati. It shines. Do I use so much of Sanskrit? Am I very fast?
We're keeping up.
Just.
No, just let me tell you slowly. Spurati, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's what I say. Because in all three states of experience, waking state, in deep sleep state, and in dream state, okay, all the states of experience, every state of experience being an object of knowledge, being known, okay, and the aham is there very much. Waking state is known, waking state being there is known, deep, and there the knowledge that I am is there. And in dream state, the knowledge that I am is there. Dream experience is possible. In deep sleep state, there's no experience. The knowledge that I am also is not there. The knowledge that I am being not there also is known. Yeah. That means the I thought is also an object of knowledge. The knowledge that I am also is what? Thought, which is an object of knowledge. Because the knowledge that I am being not there is known.
True.
In deep sleep state. When you wake up from sleep, in deep sleep state, the knowledge that I am being not there is known. That means what is there, which was there, witnessing, knowing, being aware of the knowledge that I am being not there. That is Chuddha Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness. So that consciousness, now because of which the knowledge that I am being not there is known, is the substance of that substantive. I tell you one thing. Suppose you say the water is the existence, substance of the substantive wave. Then, that means where does the existence of the wave is substance of the substantive wave? The water. Similarly here, the knowledge that I am is a thought. And without the thought, the knowledge that I am, no experience is possible. See, you must be there for you to be something to be experienced. The experience is possible. The existence of experienced is possible only when there is experience. The experience is possible only if there is experiencer. The experience, the knowledge that I am, must be there for any experience to be there, for you to have. You must be there for any experience, for you to have any experience. So the not I am is very much there in waking state. Therefore is waking state experience. The knowledge that I am is very much there in dream state also. It is where the dream experience is possible. In deep sleep state, no experience is there. The knowledge that I am is not there. It has a result. The knowledge that I am also is not there. In the, that's why deep sleep state. When you are there, there's no sleep. When you're not there, there's sleep. But the knowledge that I am being not there in deep sleep state is known. There's an experience of non-experience. Okay. When you wake up from sleep. So something must have been there, being aware of. Okay. Yeah. Yourself being not there. The knowledge that I am being not there.
But how can I become so become? How can I be aware of the subtlety of this ever-present reality, which is aware even of my own experience of?
Yeah, next day morning when you wake up, when you are awake, when you are asleep, you don't know. Nothing is there for you. Okay? But nothing being known is known because of the presence of something. When you wake up from sleep. When you wake up from sleep, you understand that you don't, you know. The present knowledge is the sakshi. Now you know that you slept well. You didn't know that you were in deep sleep state. That means the knowledge, what is, where does the knowledge that I am exist? The thought exists. Like where does the wave exist? The wave exists in water. Similarly, the knowledge that I am, the thought, where does it exist? It exists in pure consciousness. Understand? It's not outside of consciousness. So what is it which witnesses this knowledge that I am being there, knowledge that I am being not there, and the experience being there, the experience being not there, is pure consciousness. Okay? That's why it said, Hridi Spurat means, Hridaye eva spurati, not elsewhere. Jagataha satyam, sarvasya api satyam, paranto kutra spurati. Where do you know it? Where do you recognize it? Where do you acknowledge it? Where do you discover it? Where do you find it? You know, Hridaye eva, hridi, in the mind. In the mind, when I say again, in the mind means what? In the non or confusion. As the substance of the substantive aham asmi, the knowledge that I am. Okay? Only you understand this truth of the self, or the self, the truth of everything, as a substance of the substantive I, with the help of the teacher from Shastram, then you know what it is now. You know avasthātare prakriya. You know what consciousness is. How it is free from all three states of experience. It is there in all three states of experience. Okay? Then you say, now I meditate upon. You can't meditate upon something which you don't know.
No.
So you yourself, you remind yourself, you recollect what you have understood, and it is... That's what is contemplation. Now we are very clear. Oh, Atma Spurati. Atma Tattvam Spurati Nischayena. Katam Spurati Hridaye. Hridaye Kut Katam. As Aham Asmi Ityase Jnanasya Tattva Rupena. Satta Rupena. As the very existence, as the very truth, as the very substance of the substantive, the knowledge that I am, it always shines. Okay? I dwell upon it. See, the very... It takes you to that. Where are you now? Isn't it my contemplation now? When you're listening to this, where is attention? Don't you make effort to think only of that? This is what is contemplation. So, we can say, Prataha, okay, I contemplate upon, contemplate on the self, the truth of everything which is available for recognition in the mind as a substance of the substantive I, and which is of the nature of Sattva Chitta Sukham. And all other words describe, you know, describe the Atma Tattvam as adjectives of the words, which is of the nature of Sat, Chit and Sukham, for which, for further understanding. No, you know, Sat is, Sat means existence.
Yes.
Sat actually existence. The word Sat, Satta, Satta also I can say. Satta means the existence.
Yes.
Sat existence, which is of the nature of existence. How existence is the nature of consciousness. How? You know very well. Okay, because without the cause, effect cannot exist independently. And existence of the cause is existence of the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, cause itself is becomes what? Existence of the effect. First you have to say this. Without the cause, the effect cannot exist. Okay. The effect, the existence of the effect is dependent on the existence of the cause. Therefore, we say because existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Like existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Therefore, we say water is the existence of the ocean. So similarly, samagrasyapi jagataha satta sadvastu sadvastu, the substance of the substantive universe, prapanchaha, cosmos, is pure consciousness. Therefore, and that consciousness I understand is substance of the substantive I. Hrithi samsmurat atma tattvam, which is of the nature of sat, existence. Understand? See, this simple thing, I tell you one thing. Listen, see, the whole jagat, however big and vast it is as good as non-existent if it is not known. The jagat has the status of being existent only when it is known, only when it comes to light. Isn't it? Suppose the world being there is not known. The world is not existent. For the one who is asleep, the world is not there. The one who is fast asleep, for him there is no jagat. Until you wake up, there is no jagat. Where is the jagat? There is no jagat. There is no body. Even the person who is fast asleep is of some 70, 80 kilos, but still for him the whole hairam is not there. Pranas are not there. The pranas are functioning, but still pranas are not there for the person who is asleep. No sukham, no dukkham, no mind, no thinking, no knowing, no smallness, no bigness, no problem, nothing. Why? Because the knowledge that I am is not there. That is what the mind being resolved, passive completely. That is what is deep sleep state. Sushupti avastha. Okay. Therefore, the whole world has being in what? Being known. The whole world is existent, has the status of being existent only when it is known, when it comes to light. For it to be known, it should be experienced, and it should be known, be experienced. The knower must be there. Understand? And who? What is the knower here? The knowledge that I am must be there. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So where does that the knower, the knowledge that I am, exist? In consciousness. Therefore, the existence of the knowledge that I am is consciousness. Therefore, the existence of the whole jagat also becomes what? Consciousness. You remember, there was in this, I think I told you once, the question, suppose what is the light? What is the light which lights up all the opaque objects? That light. From the standpoint of the opaque objects, that light becomes the illuminator. Okay? But from the standpoint of the eyes, okay, eyes are the illuminator. The light becomes illumined object. Why? Because, okay, for the light to come to light, for the light to be in existence, it should, you know, it should be lit. For the blind person, the light is non-existent. Understand? So, repeat on the eyes. So eyes become the illuminator. The standpoint of the eyes, the light, eyes are the illuminator. And then from the side of the mind, mind becomes the illuminator, again eyes become the illumined light, illumined object. Again mind again becomes what? Illumined object. And consciousness is the illuminator. Not illuminator, is the consciousness. Understand? So what is it which ultimately lights up everything, which is not lit by anything else? Param Jyotihi, we say that. It is actually the light. Consciousness, we say. We hear it, that's why we say. So the light, okay, the light which brings to light the opaque objects, without the presence of which these opaque objects become as good as non-existent. This light becomes as good as the cause. This light is as good as the cause. The opaque objects which are illumined are as good as the effects. Why? Because without the light, these objects cannot be illumined. If they are not illumined, they are not known. Or they are not known, it as was non-existent. So for them to have the status of being existent, they need to be lit. They need to be lit up, they need to be brought to light. Okay? For which they depend on the light. Therefore, light is as good as the cause, the objects are illumined or as good as the effects means. When you say the light, existence of the light is the existence of the opaque objects. Do you make sense? The existence of the light is the existence of the effects. I mean, the opaque objects. Therefore, light is the existence of the opaque objects. Light lends existence to the opaque objects.
Yeah.
Understand? Similarly, the consciousness alone lends existence and action. Surupataha, okay?
Yeah.
Just the being. Lending existence, not an action there. This is surupam, nature. Consciousness lends existence to the thought, any thought wave, including the knowledge that I am. So consciousness lends existence to every thought, the entire mind. That we understand with reference to the knowledge that I am. Just perhaps only as the substance of the substantive I repeat it. It is very important. How do you understand consciousness is the existence of the thought, existence of the mind? You have to understand, okay, the knowledge that I am is also a thought. Without the thought, no other thought is possible. That is why we say the knowledge that I am is the dead end of the mind.
Ahankara.
Beyond that, there's no other thought exists.
Yeah.
Any other thought is before this thought. Therefore, if you just go on out there, there are all the thoughts and then you have to stop somewhere. What is that without which no thought is possible, no experience is possible? That is the knowledge that I am. What is it that's also thought? How do you say that? Because there's something called deep sleep state. When deep sleep state, that thought is not there.
Yeah.
How do you say that? I know, because I slept very well. When you wake up from in the morning, I understand that the thought wasn't there. How do you know it wasn't there? How do you know it wasn't there? Because you know. This way, something being there is known, something being not there is known. There is there something, because of the presence of which. Oh, that is current consciousness. Okay? That is why, and that consciousness, without which the knowledge that I am is not possible. Okay, that lends existence to the thought, the knowledge that I am. Thereby, lending existence to the thought that I am, it lends existence. Thereby, it lends existence to all other thoughts. Thereby, it lends existence to the senses. Thereby, it lends existence to the whole known jagat. The satta. Sat. So, the hridaye spurantam atma tattvam aham smarami. I meditate upon that, you know, that reality which is available for understanding as the substance substantive I, and which is of the nature of sat, existence, and chit, and which is of the nature of knowledge. Sat chit. Chit has, we can say chit means knowledge, chit means awareness, chit means consciousness, chit means knowledge. No, we use so many words there, but say chit is knowledge, which is of the nature of knowing. Just now I told you, knowing is not an action. I told you many times in the previous class, knowing is not an action. Knowing is the surupam of consciousness. Like I told you the example of sun and fire.
Yeah.
Illumining is not the action on the part of the sun, it's surupam of the sun.
Knowingness would be a good word for it.
Pardon?
Knowingness would be a good word for it. Not knowing as an action, but knowingness. The very quality of knowing. Knowingness.
Yeah, that's okay, but I say knowing as a gerund is not an action on the part of the consciousness. Knowing is the very surupam. Okay. The knowledge is the surupam. Rachit, which is of the nature of sat, existence and knowledge, and satchit sukham. Sukha means happiness. Dukkha rahityam sukham. What is sukham? Dukkha rahityam sukham. Absence of sorrow is sukham. And sukham means, absence of sorrow means happiness. And what, the which is of the nature of happiness means what? So I contemplate upon the atma tattvam, which is of the nature of satyachit and sukham, which is of the nature of existence, knowledge, and happiness. Again, happiness means you can't understand. So happiness should be understood as limitlessness. Always I tell you, happiness is equal to limitlessness, fullness, wholeness. Again, all these words will confuse you. Wholeness and fullness, you know, better come to limitlessness.
Yeah.
Sukham is equal to, which is the nature of limitlessness. Okay. So being limitless is being happy. Being limited is being unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, identity with the body, mind is complex, make you
yes.
limited, then there is unhappiness. Identity with the truth, you know, make you understand the limitlessness, then you are free from sorrow. That's all. So which is of the nature of limitlessness? You know what is limitlessness? Deshataha, kalataha, vastataha, you know, aparichedaha. Parichedaha means, chedaha means cutting. Parichedaha means limiting. Aparichedaha means not limiting. Okay? Kalataha, time-wise. Vastataha, object-wise. Deshataha, spatially. Being unlimited is being limitless. Desha kala vastu aparichinnata. Okay, limitlessness in terms of time, space and object is called limitlessness. That has to be a big thing. I had to explain how it is called. I'm not going to details now. Okay, I won't be able to finish it now. then Sattva-chit is of the nature of existence, consciousness and knowledge and limitlessness. Paramahamsa-gatim turiyam. I think I already done this verse in the thing. I'm repeating, is it okay? Do you feel bored with this?
No, it's fine.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. Very bored.
Then, so prataha, kriti samsparate, sachit sukham, atmatattvam, smarami. Then you go next adjective, paramahamsa gatim, paramahamsa gatihi, atmatattvam, paramahamsa gatihi. And, no, it's paramahamsaha. I told you, retreat means sannyasi, sannyasinaha. Okay? Paramahamsaha, why? Because those who are men of high, men of great discrimination are said to be paramahamsaha. How they are men of great discrimination? Because those who are very clear about the ultimate end being moksha in the form of knowledge, those who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, giving up other pursuits, are paramahamsaha. You know, and then because the hamsa, the word hamsa also means swan, I told you.
Yeah.
Because though the swan doesn't have the capacity to discriminate milk and what separately, it has something here near the beak. When it puts its beak inside, it can just only suck blood, take the milk, leave the water behind. So hamsa is always known for its discrimination, okay, discriminative capacity. So we said that the paramahamsa, the sannyasis, men of great discrimination are also known by the term paramahamsaha. Paramahamsaha, man of great discrimination. One who knows what is satyam, what is tucham, what is mithya. And one who knows what is the ultimate goal. One who knows the limitations of artha, kama, dharma. One who knows moksha being the choiceless end. Thereby one knows the value of knowledge. One who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth. Therefore, one has given up all his other pursuits. Mm. Knowing the limitations of those things. And he is the Paramahamsaha, a sannyasi. Okay, Paramahamsa nam gatihi. The gatihi is again like thin patya is there. Gatihi, gamanam, going, reaching. Okay, gatihi also means going, reaching, attaining. But gatihi is the destination as a noun. Ultimate destination. So, the truth of truth, the self, knowing the truth is attaining the truth. Knowing what the truth is what? Attaining the truth. Knowledge of the truth of the whole is attainment of the truth. Knowledge of Brahman is attainment of Brahman. Mm-hmm. So, the sannyasis who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, knowing which, okay, the search for knowledge comes to an end. Knowing which, the sannyasis for whom, knowing which, the search for truth comes to an end. Knowing is that reaching which, again, the journey comes to an end. The punarjanma the journey doesn't continue. Therefore, the Atma is said to be this Paramahamsanam Gatihi. Paramahamsa Gatihi means Paramahamsanam Sanyasinam Gatihi. The ultimate destination of the final goal of the sannyasis. Because they are committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of that. Having gained that knowledge, their search for knowledge, the truth, comes to an end. This is the final thing. And attaining that, the search comes to an end. The journey comes to an end. The word Paramahamsa Gatihi means Brahman, the truth of the whole, being the ultimate object of knowledge, sannyasis. It is said to be the ultimate destination, end of goal of all sannyasis. Paramahamsa Nam Gatihi. And then Turiyam. I told you, Turiyam here. Turiyaha is the fourth, which means chaturtaha. Like chaturtaha. Why? Because Atma is not the fourth person. Atma being the witness, Atma being there as the witness, all three states of experience, Atma is not any of the three states of experience, not all three states of experience. Okay? At the same time, Atma is there in all three states of experience, without which, that whom, no experience is possible. Is there like the fourth person, witnessing all three states of experience, is said to be the fourth person, Turiyaha. Atma is one of the words which define Atma is Turiyaha. Not Turiyatma. Turiyaha means like the fourth person is there. So you have to witness all three sort of experience. You must be there as the fourth person.
Yeah.
Like that. So Turiyaha, not actually the fourth person or anything. Who like the fourth, the Atma which is there as the, which is like the fourth person, witnessing all three sort of experience, being present in all three sort of experience, is the Turiyaha. So Turiyam. So aham prataha hridi samspurati satchit sukam paramahamsagatim turiyam atmatattvam smarami. Okay, we'll go to the next sentence then. Then yat at, so that atmatattvam which aham smarami is that which, okay, the atmatattvam, the truth, the self, the truth which is of the nature of this. Okay, which is the nature of existence, knowledge, limitlessness, which is the ultimate goal of the Paramahamsas, which is like the fourth person in all this experience. Okay, that is that which we dwell upon is that which swapna jagara sushuptim avaiti. No, avaiti. See, he explained, the word turiyam is further commented upon by the following sentence. Avaiti is another verb there. Avaiti. See, eti is a second conjugation verb. Eti. E dhatuhu. Eti. Means gachati. Ava plus eti. Avaiti. The vriddhi sandhi comes. So, avaiti. Avaiti means understands, knows. Janati. Avaiti here means janati, knows. Now, katam janati, kim janati? Swapna avastham janati, jagra avastham janati, sushupti avastham api janati. How nityam, always. So that the atma tattvam, which is of the nature of what is explained above, and which is nityam, which is there always, knowing all three states of experience. Swapna avastham, jagrat avastham, sushupti avastham, janan yaha atma asti, which is there, knowing, avaiti, yat avaiti, that truth, the self, which knows the three states of experience, which knows the three states,
so,
always.
What's the prayer? Eti. Eti.
Eti is the verb, yeah. E dhatuhu.
E.
E dhatuhu. The two roofs. One is E, one is A. But you can say E also becomes Eti and A also becomes Eti. Second conjugation. As we know, just the root plus affix, Eti. And Ava is a prefix there. Ava, Eti literally means Gachati.
Yeah.
Goes.
Yeah.
But Ava plus Eti, Ava Eti is Ava Gachati. Understands.
Yeah.
Knows. Here knowing, you know, which is, so yat brahma tattvam which aveti, which knows the three states, no, swapna jagra sushuptim, that which knows, that atma tattvam which knows these three, because this principal person tends to have aveti. Aveti nityam, which knows always. When you say which knows always, means which is there very much, which is present very much there always, which doesn't go away from that any time. Okay, that's why we say it is a cause. A cause can never be away from the effect. Okay, so which is there as the very existence of all the experiences. That's why we say every experience is that. That's why it cannot be experienced. That's why we never accept the word self-experience.
Because it implies a beginning and
yeah.
End.
Every experience is that. Because nityam avaiti, always it knows. It knows waking, it knows dream, it knows deep sleep state, knows me again, knowing again certain actions. So, Rupa, I told you already.
Yeah.
It's there very much, always means. It is never away from any experience. It's never away from any experience means what? It is the existence of every experience. Therefore, every experience is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is not an experience or the experiencer and the experienced. Every experience being that, the experiencer is that, experience is that, experienced is also that, okay? Jnata is that, Jnanam is that, Jnayam also is that. Everything is that. So we say, Nityam, Tat Brahma, that is in fact Brahman, that is limitlessly big, Brahman. This we'll see in Upanishad class, Brahman. We'll be doing a lot of Brahman, Brahman. And then, what is Nishkalam? Because I don't have anything to say in Upanishad class. You have to finish everything here.
Finish
everything. I had to keep something, it deserves to be there. Brahman.
Don't worry, we've still got loads of ignorance.
So I just want to say, where is, how does a witness arise in this? Where is the witness in this?
Witness, I just say, from the standpoint of what is known, I just say witness. Again, I don't say Atma is the one who witnessed, because there's no action. Witnessing is knowing. Knowing is being. Being is just being there, presence. Sannidhi matrena. Sannidhena eva. Sannidhi matrena. Suppose we say, I told you already, the light is the liberator, we say. Because it's not an action. Light is, and everything comes to light. That is the swarupam of the light, nature of the light. Illumining is the nature of the light. That is how the light is. It can't be different from what it is. That is the swarupam. That's why we say intrinsic nature. It's the swarupam. Swarupam means the unchanging nature. Like that, knowing is the swarupam of the Chaitanyam.
Yeah.
The reality, which is imprinted by the term Chaitanyam. That's why it's called Chaitanam, Chaitanya.
But is this knowing?
Yeah.
Witnessing?
Yeah, knowing. Because knowing, why they say, the states of experience are different. Waking is different from sleep. Sleep is different from deep sleep state. And then, and all the states of experience come to light. Suppose the chair is known, sofa is known, table is known, flowers are known, the colors are known. The difference is, what is illumined being different, similarly, the three has experience being different, and that the light which illumines different things in different times, suppose yesterday it wasn't there, still the light we knew, okay, but the light is the same. So the light is said to be the witness, Sakshi. Illumining is in fact witnessing, in fact, because knowing is witnessing. Okay, what? Why do you say? Because what's the proof? It's known, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is evident? Suppose everything becomes evidence. Light is there, our eyes are the evidence. All these objects are there, light is the evidence. Okay? And eyes become evidence, light becomes evident.
Yeah.
Mind is evidence, eyes, the seeing power becomes evident. Mind is evident. What is the evidence? You are the evidence. The knowledge that I am, you are the evidence. And what is evident? The knowledge that I am, is it evident to anything else? Self-evident. I know I am when you say, you are self-evident. There is no evidence. You are the evidence and you are the evident. Understand? And what is the evidence that you are there, you are not there. You are not being there is evident. Your being there is evident. What is the evidence? Providence. Consciousness is the evidence. That is why many people use the word no, evidence. You can't understand anything what they say. That is why evidence is always used as witness.
Oh.
Evidence is the witness, okay? Evidence is the witness. Otherwise, it's not actually like witnessing, okay? I witnessed Bhutashik.
Yeah.
Do something. It's not like that.
Mm.
Just the evidence. Anyway, so Brahma, that Brahma, Nishkalam Brahma. So Brahman, I guess, adjective is Nishkalam. Now he has to put the word eternal, something, the meaning. In fact, Nishkalam means, the Nishkal is a beautiful word. It tells partlessness. Like space is, you know, has so many parts. Partlessness. It's a partless one. At the same time, it is the whole. And it is also indivisible. It can be partless, but it can be divisible. Okay? The partless can be divisible also, but he is partless as well as indivisible. It is whole. So, indivisible, partless, whole is Nishkalam. So, I meditate upon that, okay, Brahman, which knows always, which is there very much as the witness, as the evidence of all these states of experience, to which all these experiences are evident. Okay? That is limitlessly big, okay, reality, which is one indivisible, partless whole. Nishkalam Brahma. And in fact, that Nishkalam, indivisible, partless whole Brahman, okay, is me. Aham, I the self, am that consciousness, which is one indivisible, partless whole, absolutely. Okay? Not the aggregate or the combination of these five elements. Nacha bhuta sangaha, bhutanam sangaha, na aham. I'm not merely these five, because I'm also the body. I can't say I'm not the body. I'm also the body. I'm everything. If you say I'm not the body, there's a problem. Okay? I'm also the body, which is combination of elements. I'm not merely the body, the combination of elements. I, the self, am absolutely the consciousness, the self, the consciousness, which is Brahman, which is limitlessly big. Brahman, the limitlessly big, indivisible, partless whole, the pure consciousness. You said use the word absolutely, the verb, adverb there, or it will be correct. I'm not the body, the congregation of elements. I'm that. If you say it's a problem, then it means you're differentiating something from something. Again, Dvaita Bhavana will come, the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That means the body is, you shouldn't say that. I'm not merely the body, which is the congregation of, you know, the aggregate of elements, the combination of elements. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I, the self, am. I'm everything, you should say. Okay? I, the self, am absolutely the pure consciousness, which is limitlessly big, Brahman. Okay? Which is in one indivisible, partless whole. It's just, in fact, we don't want to talk about I at all. It just talks about the truth. When you talk about the truth, just you just resolve yourself in that. That's what a sharanagati. That's what a surrender to Bhagavan.
Mm.
I like this concept of surrender. Very nice. Which is real moksha, understand? You don't talk about ask me at all. Where am I? Separately sitting. You talk about everything is resolved into one truth. Reduced to one truth. This absolute surrender.
Is this fourth statement?
Hi, made it very clear this one?
Yeah.
Clear?
Yes, I do have one question.
Okay.
Anyone?
Yeah,
okay.
I just wondered if this fourth statement is the this aham, aham smarami.
Mm.
Is this, or is this a completely separate statement? This aham, which is
you want to know whether aham should go with that or should be with this.
Which?
No. You can take
this aham, which is Tad Brahman, Nishkalam Brahman.
Mm.
This aham, Pratha Swarami Dhriti, is that how it is? Or is it a completely separate statement?
You can say that way also, no problem. But here it comes differently. Differently.
It does come. It is a separate state.
Yeah.
So.
No, aham swarami, tad brahma, aham swarami.
Aham.
Yat swap, you can say aham swarami because yat swapna jaga sushutva vaiti nityam, tad nishkalam brahma aham, nacha bhuta sangaha. Aham, that's brahman swarami. You can say that way also.
Okay, because I'm just wondering if this is the subject which is doing the contemplation. I, which is the indivisible Brahman and not just thing. I, in the morning, remember
Brahman.
All this.
I, that's what the self, the truth of the self, which is the nature of this, yeah.
Yes,
you have any question?
Yes, when you said, talking about the light, illuminating all the objects, and then he said that the eyes illumine the light or something like that.
Yeah.
This is, because I've read this already in the text, this I find a difficult idea. Probably due to bad thinking. But normally the way we think is that the light comes into the eyes, not that the eyes illumine the light.
Okay, if that's what you think. Maybe that's scientific, you may say that, but what I'm saying, suppose you just say the person who has vision and the person who is blind. For the person of vision, the light is known, the light is an object of knowledge. But for the person of, for the blind person, the light is non-existent thing.
Non-experienceable.
Yeah, non-experience, it's not an object. Non-existent thing means, why I say for a blind person, light is, the existing light is as good as non-existent for the blind person. Why? Because he's not, he cannot see that. It's not known. Known. So for the light being there to be known, one should have the vision. With reference to that, we can say light is, eyes illumine the light. This is the power of seeing, without the power of seeing, the indriyam, okay, the chakshushaha indriyam, without the power of seeing, the sight cannot take place.
Yeah.
The seeing cannot take place. Without the seeing, the object of sight becomes non-existent.
Okay, but
without being seen, without being known, it becomes unknown.
But in that, you're using the power of seeing as a synonym for the eyes. You don't really mean
the
eyes.
Yeah, I don't mean the golakam. I mean the indriyam. Yeah, I want to tell you this.
Yeah.
Actually, I won't tell you this. In fact, the physical part. I told you in the Upanishad class. I think the eyes, the ears, the nose, the skin, now all this sense. I go to Mundakum, I go to see later on. All these senses, the sense organs, which are known as sense organs, actually they are the physical part of the sense organs, are known as golakani.
Oh.
This is a golakam, this is a golakam, this is a golakam. The skin is a golakam. All the pancha indriyani are golakani. Not in the, karmendriyani, gyanendriyani, the sense organs are golakas. But the power in that given organ, the power of, I always use the word power. The power of seeing, the power of hearing, the power of smelling, the power of taste, the power of touch. No? That is called indriyam.
Yeah.
This shakti. That is subtle, that is sukshma. That is not, that doesn't, they don't go with the physical part, physical body.
No.
The physical part is part of physical body. But the indriyam, the power of seeing, power of hearing, etc., is subtle, sukshma. Without that, no seeing is possible.
Okay.
That is why we are going to see later on, Upanishad is going to describe this as every golakam as Agni Kunda. Okay? And every indriyam is Agni there. I'm going to see that later on. The same Upanishad. I'm going to see that.
Is that proven by the fact that if you close your eyes, you can still see, you can still imagine a visual object?
Yeah, that is, that's what we say. That's antakkarana indriyam. The mind is indriyam. Mind is an indriyam. Sense powers are indriyani. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we still have the power to
see. Just an example. Just suppose open the opinion. First opaque object, just light must be there.
Mm.
So, and for the light also is object of knowledge. And for the light to have the status of being existent, it has to be known, and for it one should have the indriya, must be there. The indriya is not there. The power of seeing is not there. Just the golaka, see, for all the blind people, golakam is there. You can see the golakam, and they can even see like this. You can see the eyeball, you can see everything. Sometimes people, blind people have very good eyes also. You can see like this. But you can see the power of seeing is not there. The golaka. That's why we always say with photograph, we say you can photograph anything which reflect light. So the eyes can see only things which can reflect light. Eyes cannot see things which cannot reflect light.
Okay, I can ask a similar question, which is related to what Richard just asked now, which you said at one point that without the light of consciousness, the object is as good as not there, and so therefore, because it's not perceived, therefore we can say, you said, that therefore the light of consciousness lends existence to the object, because without it being lent, without that light illumining it, the object is as though not seen.
Yeah.
But then I have a doubt about that, because if it is lending existence to an object to reveal it, then that object must already be there, existent, present, in order to be revealed. If it's already there, but not known, because it's there, it's round the corner, I can't see it, and I only see it, it only becomes an object in my experience when I turn the corner and meet it. It has to be there, existent already. So how can it be lent existence if it's already existent?
See, what I'm saying, it can be there already, but it is without being known, this aspect is non-existent.
I can see that it's as good as non-existent because I'm not aware of it presently.
Yeah.
So for practical purposes...
Not being now, what I'm saying, generally, for any time, for an object to have the status of being existent, it has to be known.
Yeah.
And for the knowledge to take place, no knowledge is outside of consciousness. Understand?
Mm.
See, knowledge of an object is a must. Knowledge of an object is possible only if the knowledge of object is there, knowledge has, the object has sense of being existent. Okay? For an object to have the status of being an existent, knowledge must be there. The non-existence of knowledge is the existence of the object. Then, for the knowledge, where does the knowledge exist? Existence of consciousness is existence of knowledge. Therefore, A is equal to B, B is equal to C, if you say A is equal to C. So existence of consciousness...
That is utterly pragmatic. So that dismisses my argument, because there is no real existence of the object which I cannot yet meet.
Second thing, right, only example, this example is given to make you understand that consciousness, the reality is of the nature of knowing. Again, I want to throw light out, because light means we have our own limited understanding of the term light.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness, I never like, you know, the light. Consciousness is not the light, not like this light, mm-hmm. an object. How consciousness is of the nature of knowledge, therefore, because of which everything becomes known, everything, therefore we say consciousness lights up everything.
Right. Yeah.
That's why it's also, we put the word param jyotihi, suprakashatma, etc. We say these things. But, otherwise also, consciousness is satta of every object also. It is the very cause, then everything. Consciousness is there in everything as the satta, as the existence of everything. It's an animate thing, inanimate thing, mobile, immobile, in everything. Consciousness is the ultimate cause. consciousness is the substance of every substantive. Ultimate substance of every substantive, it is there very much already. We don't deny that. We use this example only to make you understand consciousness is of the nature of knowledge. How consciousness is of the nature of knowledge.
For
that we give example.
But Swamiji, if you said that existence is the ultimate substantive of ultimate substance of every substantive, then I'd be happy. Because when something is existent, we know it is there. And the very existence of the existent is, if that is reality, then fine.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Well, lending existence, you mean lending. Use of the word lending.
Say, existence lends itself to this substantive as its very existence. You could say that.
Yeah. Again, lending is not an action.
Okay.
If I say, light lends existence to the opaque object, means what? Does it, lending is an action then?
No.
That's what?
The very existence of the existent object is its reality.
Yeah.
Right. But then, I've got my question. Then,
the existence is the...
The consciousness is the bit I don't get.
Okay.
I can see, to say that existence is the very substance of the substantive is fine.
Okay.
No problem. But to say that consciousness is existence, there's the problem. How can we say that consciousness is in that same way the very identical...
Consciousness is the... Other than consciousness is of the nature of existence. Okay?
How can we say that?
Because without consciousness, there cannot be something called knowledge. Without the knowledge, there is no existence of other things, the other objects.
But that's the example. But back with the original problem, because the thing, if the chair exists, then the chair exists in spite of my being aware of it. You know, my car is over there. I've only just thought of it. It's over there. It exists over there. I'm not presently aware of it all this. I wasn't until I...
See, whether you're aware of it or not is a thing. Your awareness is there or not. The awareness is there.
Yes, okay.
Your being aware is different, okay? You can fall asleep.
But the car's existence is not dependent on awareness itself. What is my awareness or reattributing awareness
for
to myself?
For you,
yes.
The car may be existing for others who are not asleep, okay?
Right.
The car is existent. But for the one who is asleep, if you're asleep...
Pragmatically, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, see the car, is, I don't say other things do not exist or anything. They may be existent, they are existent. But for you, for the one who's asleep, it's not existent.
Yeah, okay, but that's just practicality.
Therefore, you have to be aware, you have to be up, you have to be there for you to be aware of things.
Yes.
Only then, when you are aware of things, those things which are there for you, only if you are there.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not there yourself, the other things which are there are as well as non-existent for you who isn't aware of things.
Okay.
For you to be there, consciousness must be there. The consciousness alone is there as you. When you are there, consciousness is there. When you are not there, also consciousness is there. Therefore, we say consciousness is the substance, is existence.
But that's from the point of view of the individual.
But what happens if there? What happens if there is only you? If there's no one else but you, then what happens?
Then everything depends upon me, yes.
Okay. All right, I think that's what you said.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to open the curtains.
But you can't.
Then we'll notice, there's a world out there.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
No? That's what I'm saying. These are the verses. When we do again, we press mantras, the arguments will come. Systematically, just
so
I want to go into details. I just didn't go really much into details because I want to finish the text here. There is one class of the want to do.
So this previous point is perfectly valid. So that this idea of this concept of existence and consciousness being completely equatable doesn't strictly apply to the individual, because the individual is just a phenomenon. What really only applies to Atman. Is that fair?
To what?
Atman. Atman. Is that fair? It really only applies. Whereas,
no,
the individual is
because it's really not important here for us. We're interested only in Brahman.
Yeah.
All the effort is to resolve individuality.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Which is a problem.
Okay.
No, the problem is lies in being
ignorant.
Don't worry, Raji. Again, I'll hold your hand and they will take you. Drag you in there. He'll be all right.
The problem is you.
Yeah, the problem is me.
this is what is called. You know, Janmantra, samskara, no, it has to go. The habitual error. This is why the contemplation will help you, bring you out. This is what is, you know, reminding yourself of what you are, what you are not. this will help you, actually. Shall we go to the next verse? Is it time? First time, no?
Yeah, it's verse 9.
I don't know why we're not going to the second verse at all.
We've gone into the first one in great detail.
Tomorrow morning, I have to do the next one.
Next one is not staying.
No problem. We see.
It's very good. No, but you know, as you say, what's the second verse going to say that the first verse?
Rajaji's answer. Questions will be further answered. Suppose Manasam, Vachasam, Agamyam. Pratah Bhajami. Again, the Bhajami also. Now I have understood. Okay, I dwell upon the nature of this self, which is of the self, which is of this nature. Okay, that's why I cannot attain. Bhajami means I attain again. I cannot attain already. Okay, I meditate upon. Bhajami also means I meditate upon. I don't know the translation, sing in praise.
She.
What is singing in praise? How can you sing in praise of this? So. Okay, this I dwell upon. Okay, again, same thing. A revel, actually speaking here.
Yeah.
I attain. Vajana means I attain. I attain means what? I know.
Okay.
Knowing, attaining. So
yeah.
I contemplate on. So I contemplate on the self, which is manasam, vachasam, agamyam. Okay? Gamya means reachable, attainable, accessible. But which cannot be attained, reached or accessed, no? Is a way agamyam. Manasam, vachasam, agamya means what? It is not available for thought perception or sense perception. Why? Because manasam, agamya means it's not available for thought perception.
Mm.
And it's not available for indication also as an vachasam, agamya. It is not indicated by any given word. Why? Because anything which is available, which can be indicated by a word, through a word, must be subject to time and space. Must be available within the realm of time and space.
Mm.
Which is not available within the realm of, which is not subject to time and space, which is timeless and spatially limitless, obviously limitless. No, is not available for, it can be indicated by a given word. And anything which is perceptible, which is available for objectification, which is available for sense perception, alone can be indicated by a word. An object, vachasam gamyam, an object which can be indicated by a given word, which can be understood through the usage of a given word. Like a flower, I say, immediately you can think of a flower.
Mm.
It's a rose, again a word, vachasam gamyam.
Mm.
Walk takes you to a given word takes you to the given object. Immediately you can relate to a given object. So no given word can help you relate to the consciousness.
Mm.
Why? Because it is not an object of perception. It is imperceptible. Mm. That which is imperceptible.
In that case,
which
is the Vishuddha Pramana.
Yeah. That is why Vachasam Agamyam. Shabda Pramana, that's why there's Neti Neti Vachanehi. We have this different way of unfoldment now. So, what it says, it is not available for objectification because it is imperceptible. It cannot be known through senses.
It cannot be known through senses.
Therefore, we say it cannot indicate by a given word. Vachasam Agamyam. Therefore, Manasam also agamyam, it is available for thought perception. Because you have not object, suppose the thing which are available for sense perception. Okay, the thing which are not available for sense perception but still you can think of. Mm. Mentally you can understand. Mm. Manasam gamyam. Manasa gamyam. Mm. But here manasa also it's not gamyam because it is the very, very thought, truth of the mind, employer of the mind. Okay? Therefore, it is available for mind, thought perception or word. Okay.
So the knowledge is appreciated through the mind, isn't it? You've been telling us, taking us back and back and back.
No, the truth of the mind, see, the object which is different from the mind, now is known through senses, known in the mind.
Yeah.
But the truth of the mind, which is objectified, which is not objectifiable, which is available for understanding as a subject, not as the object. The substance which is available for understanding as the object of knowledge can be indicated by a word, or can be known through a word, and can be known through the mind.
Mm.
But an object which is, the substance which is not available for objectification, which is available to understand only as a subject, is manasam vachasam agamyam. Okay? And because we are going to see this, in Taittiriya Upanishad, the verse comes, yato vacho nivartante manasam apraapya saha. Now, without having reached the mind, the words come back. That means that they talk about it, beautifully it is explained there. When I do that, then you will understand that. So manasam vacham agamyam. So this sentence only explains how it is not available for objectification. Reality, the consciousness, is not available for objectification. It is because it is imperceptible. It is not available for thought perception or sense perception. Therefore, manasa agamyam means what? It is not available for thought perception. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's not an object. It must be an object to be available for thought perception or for sense perception. It is imperceptible, not available for thought perception or sense perception because it's the very subject.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? Mm-hmm. Manasa vatasam agamyam.
Being the very subject, being therefore not objectifiable in any way whatsoever, how can shabda, words, reveal it? How can shabda be a pramana?
Yeah, when shabda reveals, and when shabda reveals, the way shabda is unfolded, you understand it as the very substance of the subject, not as an object. See, knowing is very noble resource. That's why it's not objectifiable. See, if we know anything, still the knower continues to be there.
It's just the word.
Knowing with the knower results, then it is.
Yeah.
You don't disappear when you know something. Still you continue to be there. But knowing which you disappear, then that is the that is the. Okay, vachaha vibhanti nikhilaha. Nikhilaha vachaha vibhanti. Nikhilaha means akhilaha. Akhilaha means all. Okay, nikhilaha vachaha. Vacho becomes vachaha. Vak, vacho, vachaha, words. Vachaha bahu vachana shabdaha. So nikilaha vachaha, all words, vibhanti shine, okay, come to light. Yad anugrahena. So beautiful. See, the word that cannot be revealed through a known word, okay, but they have it known through a word, but all the words shine, come to light because of the grace of which. Yasya atmanaha anugrahena vachaha vibhanti. The words shine. The words shine means what? The word, what is the word? Expression of word is words shining. Word shining, the word shines means what? The word being expressed is word shining. Vibhati means shines. The word gets expressed means what? Expression of word is, implies expression of knowledge. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Expression of knowledge means what? Manifestation of, surfacing of Chaitanya. Understand? Therefore, all these words come, you know, like sparks, because of the light there, which is already there. Like, you know, all the words are expressions of knowledge. And that a thought, okay, it's a thought. Word is an expression of thought. I don't want to say Nanakatam Vitakra Bishasa. So, any word is expression of thought, and thought is raising of reality. Therefore, all these words shine in what? Exist in what? Only in consciousness. So, yad anagrahena, yasya anagrahena, I can say, all the waves shine because of sarva sarve tarangaha yasya jalasya anugrahena vibhanti. If I say similarly, all the words which are, you know, expression of thoughts, and thoughts are none other than the surfacing of the consciousness. Therefore, but that because of the grace of whom all the words shine, all the words come into being. Words shining means what? Coming into being is shining. I tell you, because the word shining and glittering always confuses, really. Just coming into being, coming into existence is shining. Coming into existence is shining. I'm repeating it. Iti vachanaihi nigamaha avochana. No, nigamaha vedaha avochan, okay, declared, avochan, you know, it's a past perfect tense of vadati, avochan has said, had revealed, the past perfect tense implies timelessness of the shastram again, the Vedas timelessly have been declaring the truth, no, that self is not anything that is objectified. Na iti vachanaihi, neti. Now, anything seen, anything known, anything which is objectified, anything which is perceptible, anything which is perceived, available for thought, perception, sense of perception, is not the self. Okay, self is not anything, but everything that is there is self. So, nigamaha, vedaha have been declaring timelessly the truth that self is not anything that is, which is, no, which is there, available for perception, knowledge and objectification. Mm-hmm. But everything that is available for perception, knowledge and objectification is nothing but the self. Okay? Vachanahi. Tam, that, him. Again, because here Atma. So, again, Atma, so the phrase is tam. Otherwise it will become tad, okay? Atma, natmanam, tam. Deva devam. Now it's a beautiful word again. Devanam devaha deva devaha. Devanam devaha. See, Lord of the Devas. Devaha literally means Lord. You know, though, it's a very interesting word, devaha. Devaha means effulgent. You know that? Because it has come from the root divyeti, shines. And devaha is effulgent. Effulgent. And devata also means effulgent. And in fact, what is which is effulgent? Any luminous, self-luminous light is devaha. Surya is Devaha, Chandra is Devaha, fire is Devaha. We say any, even even the opaque causes Devata is a different thing. Anything which shines is Devaha. And anything which illumines also is Devaha. Anything which shines is Devaha, Devata, Devam, three different words. Three different genders, but the same meaning. Devaha, Devata, Devam. And here anything which shines also is Devata, anything which illumines also is Devata. Devaha. So we say with reference to the opaque objects, light is the Devaha. That because of which everything shines is Devaha. That because of which that shines is also Devaha. So every sense power is a Devaha. Pancha Devaha. Well, because of the hearing power, the object comes to light. And this object of sound comes to light. Therefore, with reference to sound, which is dependent on the hearing power to come to light, is what? Hearing power becomes the Devaha. With reference to form and color, light, seeing power is the Devaha. With reference to smell, no, smelling power is the Devaha. Illumines. Illuminate is Devaha. That because of which anything else shines is Devaha, I told you. So the power of taste is Devaha with reference to any taste. The power of touch is Devaha with reference to heat and cold. So Panch Devaha. And all these Devas are dependent on other Devaha. Mahadevaha. Deva Deva. Mahadeva. In temples we say this. How beautiful that is. Who is Mahadeva here? Deva Deva. Deva Deva, then Mahadeva comes. So Devanam Devaha. What is that because of which all these senses shine? Mind. Because with the attention of the mind is not there with the sense power. The sense power is as well as non-existent, non-functional. For any sense power to be functioning, to be active, it has to be with the attention of the mind. Yes. So the mind is becomes Deva Deva. So what is it which, because of which the senses shine, become effulgent? Deva Deva's mind. So Deva Devanam Devaha. The Mahadevaha is consciousness. They say Mahadeva Shambho, no Sham, which is of auspiciousness. Shambhu, Swayambhu, Swayambhavati iti Swayambhu, Shambhavati Yasmati Yena iti Shambhu. It's only auspiciousness, is that which is of the nature of auspiciousness, Shambhu, and he is Mahadevaha. Now there's one great saint called Muthuswamiti Apir Dikshita, and he used to sing folk songs like Shambho Mahadeva Deva, Shambho Mahadeva Devesha Shambho. He's like, he used to sing this, just Shambho Mahadeva Deva. And he has written a stotra called Margabandha Stotra. Margabandha, on the real friend and the path of life. Marge Bandhu. Who is the Bandhu? Who is your companion in the path of life? Marge, Jivanameva Margaha. The life is the path. And you need a friend who will accompany you all the time, who should be accompanying all the time, who will do good for you always. Ultimately, Bhagavan is the Marga Bandhu. And he has written Marga Bandhu Stotra, where he begins his verse like this. Shambho Mahadeva Deva. What I'm saying, this Devanam Devaha, you know, means, actually, Mahadevaha, I mean, the Lord of all the Devas means what? The self-effulgent consciousness, which is of the nature of effulgence, knowing, because of which, you know, thinking is possible, knowing is possible, because of which the function of, you know, seeing, hearing, etc., functions of seeing, hearing, etc. is possible, because of which the knowledge of the world is possible, because of which the existence of mind is possible, that is Devanam Devaha. Okay, tam deva devam. And who is this ajam? Ajaha is na jayate iti ajaha. That which is not born. Born means that which has no beginning. The beginning is reality. And consciousness, we've already seen how, we haven't seen, but I think I've said some context. Ajaha means that which is not born. That which is not born implies that which is beginningless. Beginningless implies that which is free from time limitation. Timeless. Timeless means that which is there, objectifying the time being not there. Time being there. That which is free from time limitation, it means which has no beginning. Okay? Is ajam, ajaha. Jan achyutaha, it's a beautiful achyutaha, I tell you. Na chyavate iti achyutaha. No chyutihi. Chyutihi is a noun, slipping, I told you. Slipping away is called chyutihi. You ever say a person slips away? No, it's called chyutihi, slips away. No? Na chyutaha, na chyutam bhavati. See, in every perception, in every bit of knowledge, in every cognition, in every understanding, in every experience, okay, what cannot be missed is the experiencer. Okay? In every experience, what can be missed is the experiencer. And if that which is there as experiencer in every experience is that reality. Like that which cannot be missed in every wave is water. That every experience is what? Consciousness. Every bit of knowledge is consciousness. Because without that, no experience, no knowledge, no perception, no cognition, no recognition, no understanding is possible. It's like just, no, you can't see the table without the wood. You can't see the sun without light. You can't see, you know, like that. It's like that, you know, like that. You can't see. What cannot be missed in everything is achyutaha. That which can be slipped. Okay. Question, I want to do the toilet. In Indian villages, we say, with this meat behind, going to break to go to the flu.
Breakfast.
Okay. Again. Okay. Agriyam. Sahu agriyam. Okay, can go
now. Have we finished?
Yeah. So that, no, agriyam. Agriyam means agre gachati. Agreha gachati. Agriha. The foremost. I told you the fire is called Agnihi. Have you ever told you this? Fire is called Agnihi.
Oh, yeah.
Because Agre Nayati iti Agnihi. One of the names of the Lord is Agnihi, not only the fire. See, fire is indicable word Agnihi because Agre Ahutim Nayati to the Devas. That which carries the offerings, of oblations offered to the fire to the Devatas. Believed to be taking, okay, it's called Agnihi. Agre Nayati iti Agnihi. One who, you know, keeps the world going, the foremost runner of the universe is called Agnihi. Bhagavan is Agnihi. Agre Nayati iti Agnihi. Similarly here, Agriyaha, the foremost. Because the cause is the foremost thing, anything, isn't it? So, when you should understand, consciousness is not the cause of the universe. But the cause of the universe is consciousness. From the standpoint of the universe, which is dependent on the cause, consciousness, existence, from the standpoint of the universe, we say the cause of the universe is consciousness. Mm. Understand? Therefore, we say what is the cause is the foremost. Which is the first? Which is the next? Cause is the first, effect is the next. So therefore, foremost, agriyam. Agriyam ahuhu. People, you know, Mahatmas call it as agriyam, achyutam, achyutaha, achyutam iti, agriyam iti, agriyaha, achyutaha, ajaha iti, deva devaha iti, vadanti, tat pramatattvamaham smarami. Finished. Go for breakfast time. I think you can't listen to the class anymore.
Brilliant.
Om, we can't say Purnamada because we have not completed it.
Oh.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.